Good afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. It is good to be with you once again on this lovely Sunday afternoon in Henry's house. You had nothing better to do, so you came here. You could have gone to see a good movie. You could have gone to play golf. But you came here. Why? What do you really want? What are you looking for? What's going on within you? You have to be true to yourself. You have to be real with yourself. You have to try to understand where you're coming from, what you really wish to achieve. Remember, if you're looking to increase your material gain, you're here for the wrong reason. That may happen anyway, but you're still here for the wrong reason. If you're looking to improve your health, you're here for the wrong reason. It may happen anyway, with another circumstance. But this is not the reason we come here. There is no reason to come here. No reason whatsoever. It's just a happening. It's a karmic spiritual happening. Something has brought you here because there's been something within you for many, many years wanting to unfold, wanting to become free, wanting to become liberated. Yet it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's that mysterious power that grows apricots in the apricot tree and grass in the meadow, grows mangoes in the mango trees, makes the sky appear to be blue, makes the sun shine just right on this earth in order to sustain and maintain life. The power that takes care of all of these things is moving you in the right direction. For you have been prepared to be moved in this direction for many, many centuries. It is no accident that you find yourself in a class like this. The mind is a very powerful instrument. Imagine I should say that. For in reality, there is no mind at all. The mind does not really exist. There is no mind. Whose mind? What mind? Yet, many of you are motivated by your mind. When you have feelings, good or bad, this is the mind that feels, not you. You use the mind to achieve things in this life. The mind tells you, you want to be realized. The mind tells you, you're not realized. The mind tells you, you're a good person, you're a bad person. The mind tells you something is wrong, something is right. All these things come from the mind. All of your actions and reactions are all mental. Yet, you still believe that if you stopped using your mind, you would be nothing. You want to be nothing. This is your real purpose in life, to be nothing. Absolutely nothing. To be no thing. When your mind tells you you're something, you have to watch yourself. You have to observe your mind and see what direction it's going. and come to the conclusion that you have no mind. There's absolutely no mind. You have been hypnotized. You have been brainwashed somehow to accept that you have a mind. And you've been walking around the earth like a peacock, strutting your feathers as if you're something. And you can accomplish something and do something great. You do not want to think that in a few short years you'll be gone. What you call you will disappear completely and totally. This body will exist no more. And all your work, all your struggles, all your accomplishments were in vain. I know someone is saying, well, at least it is something to try to make this world a better world in which to live. Is this a better world in which we're living? Has anyone done anything to make this world a better world that's happened? The world seems to be becoming progressively worse. Man and humanity, the man has not stopped. So what are all these do-gooders accomplishing? Yet in another sense, they have to do good because this is their karma. We're not against anyone or anything. Nothing is right and nothing is wrong. No one is good, no one is bad. It was just that mysterious power working again, motivating you, leading you, directing you. But where are you going? There's no place to go. So there's absolutely nothing to do, there's no place to go. This does not mean that you will sit around doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. You'll always do something. Yet you are not a doer. This teaching is ridiculous, isn't it? You're something, you're nothing, you're doing, you're not doing. You're accomplishing, there's nothing to accomplish. This is what the world does to you. It makes you crazy, like me. We come back again and again to this earth until something starts to tell us there's no way to go, there's nothing to do, yet I am that. I am that. And yet there's nothing. I am that has no literal meaning. There's no explanation for it. Yet you are that. You are that which has always been, which will always be. And that cannot be explained. Yet as you evolve, something happens. The mind becomes less and less powerful. You're no longer taking orders from your mind. There's both fear to you and disbelief and disenchantment. This mind appears to be going away, appears to be dissolving. It never was here to begin with. So there's really nothing to dissolve. Yet something is happening to you. Do not try to analyze this. Do not try to find out what is happening to you. Do not think whether you're making spiritual achievements or not. The one who makes the greatest spiritual achievement does absolutely nothing. If they appear to be doing something, they practice sadhana perhaps. They may pray. They may meditate. Yet they're not doing a thing. Or they have discovered that they're not a doer. There's no one to do anything. In other words, you are already God. You are already God. What you think of God as being all-pervading, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, there's nothing for God to do. There's nothing for God to want. There's nothing for God to be. There's nothing for God to react to. Therefore, you can tell where you are by the way you respond to these things. If your feelings become ruffled and hurt, you're still feeling yourself to be a human being. This doesn't mean you are cold and calculating. It means you have a warm heart, filled with love and compassion. Filled with loving kindness. This happens by itself. Some people still believe you're supposed to get rid of all those feelings. And they feel absolutely nothing. This is true and this is not true. You get rid of all of your feelings. But the feelings that have been with you since you were born, feelings from samskaras, the feeling of samsara, the feeling of yoga, karma, conceptual ideas, right and wrong, all these feelings have to go. The real you is beyond all these feelings. Yet you may say, Robert, isn't compassion and love a feeling? I'm not speaking of human compassion, human love. I'm speaking of the compassion and love that cannot be explained. It's ineffable. It's beyond the senses. Only the senses explain. Only the senses have questions and answers. But if something is beyond the senses, there's no explanation. There's just being. Not becoming, but being. Yet being is also limited to an extent. You go beyond being to that place where there are no words, that place where there's no question, there's no answer, the place where you are that. It's so beautiful, so grand. If only I can take you there. Yet you are there. But you refuse to acknowledge it. You wish to be involved in worldly games. You wish to be involved in gossip, anger, greed, bewilderment, occult practices. These are the things that hold you back. You have to develop a sense of trust and faith. Trust and faith in what? In the power that knows the way. The power that knows the way. It's within you. It will guide you. It will lead you. It will take care of you. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to concern yourself about. You have with you a joy, a compassion, a love, a peace. If you only knew existed, you'd go mad. It's so grand and beautiful. You are that. You are that. In the teaching, the third wisdom is to take refuge in the satsang. If only you can learn to do this, you will be halfway finished with your problems, with your spiritual quest. Taking refuge in yourself. You should do this all day long. When something goes wrong with your life, you shouldn't think of material ways to handle it. You should be trained enough to take refuge in yourself. First, then the self will move you to do the right things so that you can go forward. Say, for instance, you cut your leg like Henry did and have a bruise. Before you get excited and wild, there's nothing that you have to go to the hospital, to the emergency. Think about taking refuge in yourself. The self knows the way. It knows what you should do. It will not let you sit there and bleed. It will make you think of the right thing. So you can get rid of the problem. The self is absolute reality. Effortless pure awareness. You can't do any better by taking refuge in the self. This is the best thing you can do. You simply turn within. And if you want, you can speak for yourself. You can say something like this. You can say, "Self, here I am again in trouble. I have no idea what to do next. But you are really me. Even though you're all pervading, you are expressing as myself. You know what to do. I therefore surrender completely to you. I surrender my body. I surrender my affairs. I surrender the world. I have no need to worry or fret. You will take care of everything." And you let go. If you can only learn to do this first, before you take another action, you will be pleasantly surprised what happens. Take refuge in yourself. Not in the world, not in other people, but in yourself. Then take refuge in the teaching. Think about the teaching. What does the teaching tell you? There is but one life. That life is God, the soul, reality. And that life is my life now. You begin to feel that you're not the doer. You begin to see yourself as a dream, your personal self, and your problems. You keep thinking of the teaching. You think of the dream you had last night, when you were being tortured. Your eyeballs gazed out. Your toes cut off. And you woke up and you're still here. Therefore, what can possibly happen to you? If you were still here after you woke up from the dream, you will still be here after you wake up from this dream. And you will be fine and well. Very well indeed. When you begin to think this way, wonderful things happen to you. When I say wonderful things, I do not necessarily mean things that you want to happen yourself. You should have no concepts of wonderful things. For you're saying, "Well, wonderful things will happen, I'll be a multimillionaire. I'll have the happiest and healthiest body on earth. I'll have a lot of girlfriends or boyfriends. I'll be able to do anything I want in this world." Those are your concepts. Those are your beliefs. I'm saying to you that the self will take care of you in its own inimitable way. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. but you will be happy. So they're not outlining how this is supposed to happen. Simply think of the teaching. The illusory world in which we live. Everything must change. Nothing ever remains the same in this world. Everything eventually changes. You ponder this. You think of this. You look at the examples I always give you. The snake in the rope. In the twilight, it looks like there's a snake in your house. But upon investigation, you find out there's only a rope. So all the fear leaves you, and you become free of that fear. So it is with this world. The world seems to show you all kinds of strange things. That's the snake. But upon investigation, you will realize there's no snake at all. There's a rope. So you will see there's no world at all. Here's the self. Absolute reality. You think about the water and the mirage. When you believe there's water and the sand, and you grab the mirage, which is the sand. There's no water, there never is any water. You think about these things. This is how you relieve yourself of your suffering, of your problems, of your nonsense. By thinking of these things. Now we go into taking refuge in satsang. You think of all the satsangis. All of us here together, knowing the truth as one power, one reality, one self, one nirvana, one void, one God. And you think of all of us together like this, a tremendous power emanates from you. You become free. Those are the tools you can use. So I want some of you calling me and telling me, Robert, what am I going to do? I've got this problem. You have no problem. You have solutions. You know what to do. It's within you. It's without you. It's everywhere. You are the truth, the life, and the way. You are totally free now. Time to place Temple Guru. So if you bring those thumbs over here.
And wouldn't you know, today's his last.
It's your karma.
Oh, friends, you're so wise.
I get this. It says, what is correct sila concerning abortion? What is correct sila concerning capital punishment? S-I-L-A, sila. I don't know what that means. What is correct sila concerning abortion?
What can I say about this? If you take your mind off the body and begin to think of the self, your reality, what you really are, then your person will make the right decision yourself. When you say what is correct concerning abortion, this has to do with the world and its manifestations. It is not right and it is not wrong. It's something that every woman has to think about personally. When the time comes, I'm not a for nor against. It's like saying to me, what is right concerning the body? What is right concerning the world? Try to rise above that. This is simply a manifestation that's happening in this world today. We have anti-abortionists and pro-abortionists. This is part of worldly things. What is right concerning murderers? What is right concerning the grass, the sky? If the whole world is a dream, why do you identify with certain particulars of this world? Imagine in the dream you need an abortion. So you get an abortion. Then you have another dream next week that you need an abortion, you don't get an abortion. You have a baby instead. You see what I'm trying to say? It's all the same, it's all part of the dream, it's part of the Maya. I'm not taking a stand on these things, for or against. These things are part of the delusion. Do not give your energy to these things. Use your energy in trying to find yourself, trying to unfold, trying to discover your reality. That's where you should use your energy. And then they'll know what to do personally when the time comes. What's the next question?
And the other one, what is the correct sila concerning capital punishment?
Same story. Think of it this way. You have a dream. In the dream you have a family. Somebody rapes your daughter and kills her. And you want to see this person punished. So you catch this person, put him in the gas chamber, and you're very happy. You get your revenge. Then you wake up, it never happened. It was all a dream. You go to sleep again, this time you dream something similar. You dream you had a daughter, she got raped and killed. Only this time you feel sympathy for the killer. You feel as if you knew not what to do. His upbringing was wrong, he had problems at home, he was molested when he was a child. So you're not for capital punishment. You have mercy. But then you wake up. Again, you were dreaming. So both of those incidents was a dream. In reality, I have absolutely nothing to do with these things. Do not be pulled in by this. Go beyond it. Rise above it. And you'll understand yourself what's happening, what's going on. You'll be free. Yeah.
Okay, Robert, should I try to remember insights and realizations, or should I let them go as soon as they arise?
Do not try to remember anything. Do not count on your memory to give you answers. The memory is part of the mind. It may appear to give you right answers, it may appear to give you wrong answers. Rather look to the self. Surrender totally to the self. Surrender everything. All of your opinions, all of your doubts, all of your frustrations. And then right action will take place. Next case.
All right, Robert, can an enlightened sage like yourself know if someone is ripe for awakening or if they will awaken in this lifetime?
First of all, I never claimed to be an enlightened sage. If I claim to be an enlightened sage, then there's a door within me that claims to be something. I have no idea what I am. When I look at you, I see the soul. I see God. I see absolute reality. Just the way you appear now. Therefore, there's no difference between the enlightened sage and a person. They're all the same. They're different to you because you think there's something to look for. You think there's a difference. If you would look to yourself and see who you are, then you'll see everybody's an enlightened sage. No one is exempt from this. And then again, you can look in the eyes of somebody and see where they're at to an extent. This will go back to a cult when you do things like that. In reality, we do not wish to judge people, look at people, tell people what they are, what they're not. It's totally immaterial for me, who's enlightened, who's not enlightened. Because those words do not exist for me. I use those words for your sake. But those words do not exist. Forget about these things. Look to yourself. Become free. Then see who cares what enlightenment says. Next case.
Please explain taking refuge in the satsang. Does that mean we're supposed to cultivate friendships with your other disciples or what? What is the satsang?
The satsang is a group of individuals who come to a teaching of an enlightened sage. Contradiction, isn't it? The whole teaching is a contradiction. But you wish to come to a satsang and be around and not the sage. So you do this. This is your opinion. This is what you do. When you think of your relationship to satsang, it should give you a warm glow, a warm feeling. And thus you take refuge in that. Look at it this way. It's better to take refuge in satsang than to take refuge in a topless bar. Maybe it's not.
Why?
Whatever turns you on.
Topless bar, hands down.
Just be happy.
Robert, you're confused.
That's all I mean. Satsang is what you want to make of it. But if you think of all the satsangis, it releases an energy which lifts you up and makes you feel better. So when you take refuge in the satsang, you're taking refuge in God, in the Spirit, in reality. Next case.
All right. Robert, I am fed up of inquiry. Satsang. Satsang and everything else. Why do I need to do anything to be myself? It's all a joke. A postponement into the future. Why can't I wake up now? Forget purity of mind, practice, and boring talks. How can I wake up now with a big now?
You got some good questions today.
I'm with you. Wake up. Why don't you do it? What are you waiting for? There's nothing keeping you back. nothing exists but the reality. And I'm not too sure of that either.
Bravo.
So just wake up and forget about the whole thing. You can do it.
That's it.
Now you have all the answers that you always wanted.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Is there any useful function that the mind has? And if there isn't, then why was it created?
Where did you get the idea it was created?
It exists.
For whom did it exist?
For those of us who perceive it.
Of course, but you perceive it. Why?
I know. I'm trying to perceive truth with it, if it can perceive truth.
The only reason to use the mind, which you call the mind, is to destroy the mind. You use the mind to destroy the mind by inquiring to whom does the mind come. As you inquire to whom does the mind come, the mind becomes weaker and weaker. This is the only legitimate use of the mind. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. And it brings you trouble, problems.
Then how would one know if one is doing right action based on what the true self would do as opposed to what the mind would suggest to the true self to do?
As long as you're thinking about it, then your mind is being used, and you have to take the action that's appropriate for you. But if the true self is at work, you do not have a question like this. It will just become a happening all by itself. You wouldn't have the slightest doubt. There wouldn't be any doubt whatsoever left in front of you. There would be nothing left to ask a question like this. But as long as you ask the question, then you must start using the mind that doesn't exist to ask a question to take further action. So what I'm saying is, surrender to the self. Let go of the mind. When the mind is totally surrendered, you will take the appropriate action that you will realize you're not the doer or the actor. There will be no one doing anything. Yet to all people, you will appear to be doing something. It's like when Ramakrishna died. He was suffering. Who saw him suffering? The people who believe in suffering, who believe in the world, who believe they're a body or a mind. And he said, I do not suffer. He laughed at the people. Why do they look at me like this? And the people were crying because they saw him suffering. Who sees this? Who feels this? The ego, the mind. So again, whenever you feel that you have to do something, you can tell to do something, and you have to think about it, it is your mind that does it. But when the day comes when you no longer have to think about anything, and you have gone into the silence, you're totally, completely quiet. And there's no action taking place in your head or your mind, but your body is still performing certain deeds. You will know that you have arrived. Anyone else want to make a comment?
Who's better, Perot or Brown?
That's for you to find out. Know yourself. And don't forget about Perot or Brown.
I heard that there is an epic relationship between a certain guru and a certain disciple. If two right disciples go to one guru, one enlightened guru, then it is possible that one of the disciples is attracted to this guru and the other is not. And how can you know that who is our guru, our right guru?
That's a good question. As you practice sadhana, spiritual discipline, as you go within yourself, day after day, week after week, month after month, you become sincere, you become devoted to the self, to the power of God within yourself. Your heart will open up and lead you to the right guru. It will happen by itself. But if you have to make decisions and say, shall I go to this guru, shall I go to that guru, this one sounds good. I have to go see this guru because he or she sounds like a wonderful person. I have very good stories about this guru. You're going for the wrong reason. Even though the guru may be great, only when you are compelled to be moved by the unmovable will you make the right decision. But when you are moved by the mind, you may go to the wrong place, you may feel like the right place, you may stay there, get involved with devotees, get involved with disciples, get involved with seekers. And yet, you're always in the right place. Wherever you are, it's the right place. There's never a time when you're not in the right place. But if you surrender yourself to yourself, if you surrender your body, your emotions, your world, your God, to the one self, which is you, then you will wind up where you're supposed to be. And you'll be with the right person. So again, if you read about a guru in a book, and you have feelings to go, as long as you have the feeling to go, there's something wrong right there. But if you just go without the feelings, if something takes the place of the feelings, the movements to go, then you're going for the right reason. In other words, if you wind up there with no thinking, no planning, then you're there for the right reason. But if you have to think about it, there's doubt. It may not be for the right reason.
Audio cassettes available and there's quite a few on the table and they're good quality and they include questions with transcripts on them.
Do you have any for Sean?
Yes. I have a birthday cake.
Oh.
I cut it up small enough so I think we'll have enough for everyone.